Like every Monday night, you're checking out Breakfast Soup Raw.
Enjoy as Don, Tony, and Mish spill the soup about pro wrestling, sports, news, and pop culture. Breakfast Soup Raw.
Breakfast Soup Raw.
And now, your host, Mish and Don, Tony.
WrestleMania week is finally here. Rest up, everybody. Get those vitamins, Red Bulls. It's going to be a long week, but hopefully a fun one. It is Monday night, March 28th, 2022. This is Breakfast Soup Raw. I am Don Tony, and he is...
Anthony Missionary Thomas. What's going on, DT? What's going on, everyone? Welcome to the last Raw before the WrestleMania weekend, huh?
The go home, or as they called it tonight, WrestleMania Raw.
That was a weird hook. Is this going to be a thing, you think, from now on, that the week before WrestleMania they're just gonna saturate both Raw and SmackDown?
Probably
with all the stars.
Probably. I tell you, it was a fun go home show, and it goes to show you can have, you know, some SmackDown wrestlers perform, and, you know, everybody knows WWE owns everything. So what if a SmackDown wrestler appears? Now, if we had any problem with it today, it's probably the fact that Ricochet has lost three times in about 72 hours. I'd be a little bit, because, you know, when he beat Sami Zayn for the belt, you and I and a lot of others tuning in all said the same thing. Awesome for Ricochet. Now let's see what they do with it. And so far, I mean, his reign has been mediocre.
Lackluster.
Yeah,
I mean, he was beaten very fast tonight. I don't know what the actual time count was, but
I have a minute 52.
Oh, wow. I was going to say about minute 52 and a half minutes. Jesus.
See, the fact that tonight's show that we're doing here is going to be mostly a Raw recap. We'll preview a little WrestleMania. No predictions tonight. But give you a little ratings news, and we'll talk about the latest Hall of Fame induction. You know, I can get a little bit more detailed on specifics. But, yeah, I think Austin Theory beat him in a minute 52. No Pat McAfee today. I mean, he does have his podcast, which he makes a lot of money off of. So it just was not possible to bring him over to Raw. But, look, you know, we still have SmackDown. And a lot of the confrontation we saw today is going to carry over into SmackDown. We'll talk about it, but, you know, we got some big news to get into. I guess it would only be appropriate that we discuss it right at the beginning of the show. It's been announced, it's official, that Seth Rollins will have a match. And yes, if you remember the autograph signings for WrestleMania Access, we talked about how his match would likely be on Saturday. If you look at the schedule for the Sunday, Seth Rollins will wrestle at WrestleMania 38 against an opponent of Mr. McMahon's choosing. Now, just to set this up a little bit, WWE filmed a 6-minute video pretending that Seth Rollins was at Vince McMahon's office in Stamford, Connecticut at 9 o'clock this morning. And Vince McMahon, you know, is talking to Seth. Seth thinks he's going to get fired. Vince is like, I'm not going to fire you. And then, you know, Seth, you know, is talking about, you know, he had a rough couple of weeks, and Vince basically said to him, why don't you just ask me for a wrestle? If you wanted to wrestle WrestleMania, why don't you just ask me? And, yeah. He ends up giving Seth Rollins his match. And it got pretty hilarious because Seth Rollins then, you look at Vince McMahon's reaction. I thought it was funny with the cake, you know, being placed underneath him. But people have been photoshopping stuff too tonight. But Seth Rollins is static. Now, look, you know, I'm going to say this once, and I think we have every right to say this. You know, ever since we found out that Cody Rhodes was going to be signing with WWE, he was leaving AEW for WWE, and this was over a month ago, and repeatedly we said on the shows here that, you know, it just did not make sense to advertise Cody Rhodes before WrestleMania. Since day one, we figured it would be a surprise. There's no storyline to build with it. There was no storyline. Why would Cody face Seth? You know, you're not going to rehash anything from yesteryear. And yet, all of those places, especially the ones that claim to have these sources, you all look back at the last 4, 5, 6 weeks, and people who claim to have sources within WWE, either they intentionally lied to you just to get hits every single week, or their sources are horrendous. Because every week, people teasing, will Cody be at Raw? Will Cody not be at Raw? Will Cody be at Raw? Will not, you know, next week, the week after, week after. We said this about 4 weeks ago, and I put the poster up 2 weeks ago. Cody's first appearance on Raw was going to be after WrestleMania. So, and that's what we're getting. No announcement for Cody. It is going to be a surprise. In fact, I would love for it to go one step further, and maybe WWE swerves us for a few moments, and maybe we think Elias comes out. Or, sure. You know, I don't want to say a scrub, but someone that no one would want to see Seth face at Mania. But, you know, I just think about all of those podcasts and all of those news sources for the last 4 or 5 weeks. How do so many get it wrong? Is it just bad sources, or was it intentionally clickbaiting to try to get people attention to their shows and sites?
Well, I'm sure it's a little bit of both. I'm sure there's a lot of people that are trying to hone in on what's actually going on with WWE, some of them with supposed sources, and maybe even their sources are incorrect. You know, I would not be surprised. WrestleMania is Vince McMahon's baby. I wouldn't be surprised if there has been multiple changes to the idea of what's going on with the matches, to people that are going to show up, to surprises for the event. So who knows?
Yeah.
I mean, I'd like to not think that every single person out there is being disingenuous when they say they know something's going on in WWE when they have no clue.
Yeah.
But it happens. Yeah. And that's kind of the nature of what wrestling podcasting, I guess, is about sometimes.
Are we all in agreement that this was the right way to go as far as the build?
I think they could have done more with it. I really do. Like, I'm going to be in the other camp on this one. I understand that they're going to do the reveal at WrestleMania, and that it makes sense for what it is. But they could have easily harbored some fantasy reason that Cody Rhodes wanted to hurt Seth Rollins. They could have easily done like a retcon storyline where Cody is just wanting to hunt down Seth Rollins and build a storyline from Cody attacking a guy like Seth Rollins. Like, there's so many different ways that you could have done it, that you could have really gotten people into it. And you didn't have to directly mention the other company if we're going to start doing that. But there are things that you could have possibly done to make this a little bit more enticing. Now, I guess on the other side of it, the way that they're doing it, they're totally feeding into the rumors. WWE is not stupid. They understand that people already know that Cody Rhodes is signed with the WWE. And they also know that there's a lot of people that doubt that Cody Rhodes ever signed with WWE. There was somebody I got into a discussion with online via social media, and he was saying, I don't even believe that Cody Rhodes is going to WWE. And my question back to him was, well, if that was the case, why is Cody being quiet? Why is Brandy not saying something? They don't owe anything to WWE, and WWE doesn't owe them anything either. If the case was Cody isn't going to WWE, then why is Cody keeping WWE's secrets for them?
I guess we could segue into the shirt that I showed you right before we went live. And I'm baffled as far as why this theme of this shirt is being released for WrestleMania. And I'm trying to think to myself, could Vince McMahon, Mr. McMahon, do something at Mania? Not physically, but could he do something at Mania that is a real heel move? And I'm not really talking about the Pat McAfee-Austin Theory match, but for those that have not seen it yet, WWE put on sale, and the interesting thing is that the shirt will not be shipped out until right after Mania, but it is a WrestleMania shirt. It has the WrestleMania logo in the back of the shirt, but the shirt that they put on sale today is this. It is a Mr. McMahon congratulations t-shirt for those on audio only. It is a picture, a cartoon picture of Vince McMahon's face with devil horns, all in red. And the shirt says, if people think I'm an asshole, congratulations, I am. No, asshole is not censored, everybody. Congratulations. If people think I'm an asshole, I am. So now I ask you, why launch a shirt like this with a WrestleMania theme to it? Because again, the WrestleMania logo is behind that shirt. Could this have to do with something with Vince and Cody? Could we see some type of an attack on Seth Rollins? Maybe more than just Cody. Could someone be making a return? You know, I was talking about it a little bit on Sunday, and it was not intentional with this because, you know, we didn't have any idea about the shirt either. But, you know, I keep thinking about Mustafa Ali. And, you know, really the topic was Ali, you know, WWE is going to stop, you know, the idea that people think they could just walk out quick, complain on social media, and they could get out of their contract early. That sets a bad trend. But I'm starting to wonder, maybe Mustafa Ali is on his way back to TV. It's wishful thinking on my part, but I was thinking, what if, you know, they bring him back or they bring some people on TV, and maybe this is connected with Cody in some way?
I mean, it could be. With all the let goes and the releases, there could be a lot of little things that they could do and bring people back or whatever WWE's plans are. You know what? I will say this. If the whole Mustafa Ali thing was a long con, if it was the long plan for the storyline, I would be very impressed. I would be very impressed because Mustafa Ali plays off this disgruntled person within the company very well. And the way that he carried himself in social media made a lot of us believe, especially myself, that he was being a little bit of a curmudgeon, to say it nicely. So if this ends up being some kind of a long con, and this was all a swerve in order to get some kind of a storyline out there, bravo to him, because that was really well done. And it's not even just me. A lot of people felt that Mustafa Ali really wanted to get out of his contract.
Yeah.
So.
Oh, I do believe he wanted out, and I still think he wants out. But something's got to give sooner or later. And I'm wondering if they're going to bring him back to TV. I hope so. But, you know, this shirt just baffles me, you know, because he had the awesome appearance on Pat McAfee. He's not coming off as an asshole. You know, they didn't censor the shirt. And, you know, especially in his latter years, you know, I don't see. I mean, I know the skits with Austin Theory. It just, it's an odd shirt to put on sale with a WrestleMania theme to it. So you want to see something else odd that I got today? I got to share this with everyone. And believe me, I am taking this very, very seriously. It's a legit email because I already responded back to them. But I got an email this morning, and it was from an agency that represents Mike Tyson and Ric Flair. And for those that don't know, that Mike Tyson's cannabis company, Tyson 2.0, bought the majority stake in Ric Flair Drip. And basically, because I talked about Mike Tyson's cannabis last week on, I think, the Don Tony show. And this was addressed, you know, the front part was, it had some attachments and it was addressed to the Don Tony show. And they wanted to know if I wanted to promote this further and if I wanted to interview Ric Flair and Mike Tyson. So I'm thinking to myself, I don't know, guys, gals, should the podcast Forbidden Door open up and should we bring Ric Flair and or Mike Tyson on? We'll probably have to talk weed, though.
No, you could talk weed. I'm sure you know about it.
Yeah, I had to censor the person's name and contact number because I don't want people, you know, to call the place. But it is a legitimate place. And the person's a New Yorker, too. Actually lives not too far from me also. So we'll see. I already responded back and I said, you know, I'd love to promote it further. I said, I'm not sure if I want to do an interview or not because, you know how we are over here. But all right. Couple other things. You and I had this conversation last week. We talked about it a while back as well. I still love your idea of having MVP as this person's manager. And I tell you, I'm really surprised tonight social media is not in an uproar, pissed off. Like, wait a minute. How is Bobby Lashley back in such a short amount of time? If you remember his injury, without surgery, it would take about 3 months of recovery. You know, right. You could be muscle upon muscle. You could have perfect insides. You could be the most healthiest person in the world. You still cannot speed up recovery of torn muscles and broken bones. Nature has to take its course. But tonight, Omos, after beating the Viking Raiders by countout in about 2 minutes, which we already talk about the Viking Raiders, you know, unless they turn heel and do something majorly different, they're done. But Omos, he wants a match at WrestleMania. Well, his request was answered today. And on Raw, Bobby Lashley came out, had a confrontation with Omos, knocked Omos on his ass, and it is official. Night 2 of WrestleMania, it will be Omos versus Bobby Lashley. What's your thoughts?
Yeah, no, I'm very happy. I mean, this was kind of already in the web works over the last couple of weeks. It was the whisper amongst many people. And I'm happy it's happening. So,
babyface, I mean, too.
Is, yeah, Omos, you know, that's going to be a fun match. And I figure it's going to be more of a storyline match. I would not be surprised. Obviously, they showed MVP in the splash graphic, so I would expect him to be out there with Bobby Lashley as well. Yeah, interesting matchup. Now, I guess because they cut him short in the Elimination Chamber, is anybody kind of worried, or is there any kind of thought process behind if Bobby Lashley is working hurt?
That's a good question. I was thinking about that too. I guess our answer will be given at WrestleMania if he picks up Omos. Because right. You'd think we expect some feat of strength on behalf of Bobby Lashley. And if he is not close to 100%, we may not see Bobby Lashley do any big feats of strength. But I still, just based on the legitimate news that came out about his injury. Now, we all know when they say 3 months, it's probably 8 weeks. When they say 6 months, it's right. Probably four and a half. But not this close. Not this quick. Right. What I fear is what happens next after this? Because, you know, he won the championship against Brock, lost it very quickly. He was not pinned for it, so he saves face in that way. But are we going to get the next 12 months similar of what WWE did with Drew McIntyre for the last 12 months after WrestleMania last year?
I don't know if I'd put it in that category just yet. I think that there's a lot more that they can work with. The Drew situation was different because of the way everything was being handled with the pandemic, though, DT. So I wouldn't necessarily put that exact same scenario on Bobby either. I'm kind of hoping that maybe they overestimated how hurt he was. Maybe some of those results were a little extra, and it's only bruising as opposed to any kind of real damage. And I'd like to see him back in regular rotation. I mean, once again, these two guys here are people that could absolutely main event a lot of Raws and a lot of pay-per-views coming up, one way or another. Omos is in dire need of a manager. We know this. And we've all seen that that manager could very well be MVP. Now, if there's some kind of an alliance or an allegiance that may come of this WrestleMania, I'm genuinely looking forward to that kind of an outcome. But as far as seeing what they did to Drew, even repeating that with anybody else, man, I don't think WWE wants to go through that again.
Yeah, you know? I agree. I mean, it's awesome to see Bobby Lashley back. It's cool to see that he's getting a WrestleMania match. My concern is what happens after this. I still love your idea of MVP managing Omos, because somebody sent this to me last week. I have not played it on this show yet. Mish, oh. I have played this back. I've played this back at least 20, 25 times. And I'll probably have to play it one or two times now so people could actually hear it. Mish, can you tell me exactly what Omos is saying in this clip? Listen to this closely, everyone.
To step over this million no more goo.
What the fuck? I heard the Nigerian. First couple of words was English.
Is he speaking Nigerian?
I don't think he was going in and out of Nigerian. It all I heard was goo, and then I heard brother. It sounded like he went French. Listen to it again.
To step over this million no more goo.
Yeah. He switched the language up.
Yeah, maybe he did.
He did what a lot of people do when they're multilingual, is they'll say a couple of sentences or a couple of words in English, and then they'll go into their own native tongue.
Maybe,
that's exactly what that sounds
like. Ricky
Ricardo. Right.
Yeah, Ricky Ricardo. Where's my dinner? You know, I don't know. Maybe that's what it was, but I was listening to this over and over again. Let's play it one more time. One more time. First couple of words, I understand.
To step over this million no more goo.
I don't know. I'm at Johnson territory, but I think it's going to be a big year for Omos. Should he win at Mania? I haven't thought about yet. Now, after we run through the Raw results in a few minutes, we're going to run down the WrestleMania card. We're not doing predictions tonight, but what we are going to do is just give our overall excitement level for some of the matches. And everyone that is live, you are welcome to chime in as well, because even on
you're
the replay,
you're welcome to show your excitement.
Yeah, yes. I mean, even on the replay, you know, everybody sees everybody's chat comments and everything, and you let us know if you're excited as well. But so it's official: Omos versus Bobby Lashley, night two. So right now, I think we're up to 14 matches, because they also announced Kofi and Xavier Woods versus Sheamus and Ridge Holland at WrestleMania. That, interesting enough, is going to be night one as well. So when I just list the card later, I mean, it's pretty interesting how they balanced out the matches this time around. So before we run through the Raw matches, let's mention this, because this is cool. And it is so deserving. And even more than that, you know, look, you know, I think people forget Scott Steiner. You know, there was rumors that he died a couple of years ago. And if anybody remember the tweet that I made that blew up, is when I said that he had a 50% chance of a 99.2%, whatever it was. You know, he was at that wrestling event. It might have even been, was it Impact? I don't remember the event, but they rushed him to the hospital, and there was a lot of talk that night that he wasn't going to make it. And listen, you know, as we talked, even with the Triple H conversation on Saturday, which was very, very powerful, very emotional, and like I said, I don't take lightly some of you writing that that was your favorite episode of all time of any conversation I have ever had, and I'm doing this 25 years. But you get a serious health scare. It changes you. It really does. And, you know, you don't really understand until it actually happens. I mean, you saw Triple H getting choked up, you know, talking about his daughters, but, you know, when I mentioned about my dad, the one thing that I told everyone repeatedly since February of last year, and I said it on this show at least four or five times, is that my father, when he had the triple bypass and the Widowmaker and everything else, the physical part is tough. But to this day, the toughest part about what happened to him was this. He said that feeling when they're about to put you out and you don't know if you're going to wake up ever again. Your life flashes before your eyes. You want to tell your wife you love her one more time. You want to reach out to your kids, but you're in the operating room. There is no, and it just fucks you up. First curse tonight, I'm trying not to curse, but, you know, anybody that gets a very severe health scare, it could change you. And I think Scott Steiner, and all, you know, from what we've heard also, is that he has mellowed out quite a bit. And to see how awesome Bron Breakker is developing in WWE as well. You know, I think that he has mellowed out a little bit. Rick Steiner, I'm not concerned about at all. But they did announce today that the Steiner brothers will be going into the 2022 WWE Hall of Fame. So well-deserved. Everybody in the wrestling world, even AEW wrestlers, saying the same thing. I mean, such a deserving honor. I know there's no physical Hall of Fame, but still, what an awesome, you know, decision. And maybe not so many different names announced for the Hall of Fame, but the fact that they're going in is awesome. And, you know, you asked me before we went live who I thought would be inducting them into the Hall of Fame.
Right.
I think it's going to be Bron Breakker. What are your overall thoughts about the Steiners going in and who could possibly induct them other than Bron?
Oh, I love the fact that the Steiners are going in. It adds a lot more weight to this Hall of Fame, gives us something more to look forward to than just simply Undertaker. I can see Bron Breakker being up there with his uncle and his dad. I see no problem with that. But as far as inducting, don't you think there could be somebody else, somebody with more history that can absolutely induct the Steiners in and maybe bring up some stories? Because when somebody gets inducted in, usually they talk a little bit about their history and why they're inducting them in. Usually we know either because of past feuds or because there's some kind of connection family-wise or whatever. I don't know. I would think, you know what, Bron doesn't need to induct them. He absolutely could, and you're totally right about that. But I would be more interested to see an old-timer induct them in.
Chat room, who would you choose to induct the Steiners in the Hall of Fame? Because, you know, I'll be honest with you. Like, I'm thinking of a lot of their legendary feuds. I'm thinking of their run in WCW. You know, the thing is, I mean, we saw the highlights and they did show, you know, Big Papa Pump. I mean, because obviously he did work WWE for a little while, you know, under right. that persona. But it was, you know, obvious disaster. But, you know, it's interesting. And I got to be honest with you. On the surface, I think back of all the Hall of Fames, all the Hall of Fames that WWE has ever done, maybe the legends that were put in before my time, maybe with the exception of them, I honestly cannot remember anyone else ever going in the WWE Hall of Fame and one, two, three people not immediately come into my mind. Like, I think the Steiners are the top five tag team of all time. I always felt sure. The Road Warriors were number one. I always felt the Steiners definitely should be in the top five. But you look at their career, and it's pretty wild that I can't immediately, outside of Bron Breakker, put Bron Breakker aside from it, I can't think of anybody.
Brett. And I know that's a stretch, but Brett would be a big one. You know, outside of that, I mean, like Booker could say something, but Booker's going to be inducting his wife. Right. So it'd be weird to see Booker inducting two different Hall of Fame inductees. Gosh, I started thinking about it. And I'm like,
it's wild.
And it's kind of sad because you'd love to say the Road Warriors, but, you know,
can't.
Yeah. I mean, who else? The Rougeos?
It's crazy. Like, I mean, I thought about, like, anybody in WCW. I thought Bischoff. I'm like, nah, that doesn't really fit.
No.
You know, and I'm thinking of, like, people they feuded with. And a lot of them, unfortunately, are no longer with us. And it's right. not like the Steiners are 80 years old. You know what I mean? I mean, you think about it, well, they're not that old.
It, right.
It's it blows me away. Paul Ellering makes no
Ellering,
sense.
That's
it makes no sense.
You don't think so, even though he was with the Road Warriors and such?
Yeah, I don't think that makes much sense. Okay. I mean, it's not a bad idea. I mean, I understand the idea. It's a great idea, but I think for WWE fans, there's no connection there. You know what
well,
I mean?
Well, Brett might be your closest thing. Yeah. I mean, you think of the Hart Foundation and stuff like that, absolutely. But
yeah,
I don't know.
I'm baffled. I honestly do not ever remember that. And I'm curious if any of you out there, has there ever been a Hall of Fame induction for the Hall of Fame that you truly were like, I can't figure out who could put them in? I mean, it just boggles my mind. It really does. But hey, so they're going in and
people are saying J.J. Dillon, Paul
why?
Heyman, Ron Simmons. Ron Simmons is an interesting one too.
Yeah, but even like, put it this way, I'm not saying that those aren't bad choices, but when you throw the name out there like word association, like I don't think of an immediate connection with those people. You know what I mean?
Right.
It's a little surprising. And the more I think about it, it's almost shocking because everybody, there's someone, I mean, even Lance Russell, you thought immediately Jerry the King Lawler. Or vice versa. You know what I mean? Like, there's somebody that when there's a yin, there's a yang. I do agree that if Sharmell was not going in, I could see maybe Booker. Stevie Ray, maybe both inducting them in.
Yeah, I could that would have been kind of cool.
Yeah. But, well, congratulations to the Steiner brothers. Definitely well deserved. I think we may get one more induction before Friday. A lot of people are still thinking Sid Vicious, not a bad idea. We will wait and see. We'll wait and see. But just so everybody knows, tonight we're trying to avoid this. What happened yesterday with Will Smith and Chris Rock? We're really trying to avoid having to talk about that. I mean, I saw it, and it's like, you know, I'm going to be asshole, DT, for a minute. You know, I saw people online when people were bitching about having to pay $5 and $6 gas, okay? People legitimately living paycheck to paycheck that are really, really upset that they're spending that kind of money on gas. You had these virtual signalers online that were like, well, you're worrying about gas, but right now there's hundreds of thousands of homeless people in the Ukraine that are losing their lives and being bombed and destroyed. So it's like, you know, you complain about something and people will rip it down to say, well, look what's happening with Ukraine. So as far as this Will Smith, Chris Rock stuff, I say, well, you know what? Okay, bitch slap, fine. But look at all the shit that's happening in Ukraine. That's how I look at it. So I honestly could care less. And I don't want to see them two fight at WrestleMania. So, all right. We could run through Raw pretty quick. You know, an excellent go-home show for WrestleMania.
Sure.
Opening tonight, Brock Lesnar hits the ring. And, you know, getting the what chance, but going along with it. He brings up Steve Austin. He's like, Steve Austin will be at WrestleMania, you know, but Steve Austin never beat Brock Lesnar. If anybody remembers the infamous match that never happened. And basically he's talking about country ass kickings to Roman Reigns. And he said that there's going to be a marriage between the WWE and the Universal Championship. And he is going, it's going to give birth to a child. And he is going to have sole custody of that child, the unified championship. He's going to leave. Brock is in a freaking zone. Where was this Brock Lesnar even 3 years ago?
True. Very true. I think he's having fun with it is the big thing. You know, I think the reality is when Brock's going out there, I really enjoyed it tonight too, because he was egging the crowd on, which is something that you don't usually see. Roman did it too later on in the evening, but Brock going, let's have fun with this. Go on. You go ahead. You know your role. Play your part. And I was like, well, that's kind of cool, because usually it seems like a lot of interviews that happen or promos that happen in the ring, a lot of the time seem to ignore the crowd.
Yeah.
But I don't know if they've lifted some kind of like thing saying, you know, you guys can talk to the crowd, you guys can interact. Because Seth did it the other week with the Cody chants in Chicago.
See, so that is a clear cut difference. And I'm a big AEW fan, but I call it like I see it. And that is a big difference about how wrestlers react to fans in WWE versus AEW. A wrestler gets trolled with what chants in WWE, and they'll have fun with it. You know, Seth getting the Cody chants, he had a little fun with it. It doesn't sound like friction. In AEW, on more than one occasion, you get a couple of fans that want to troll the person in the ring, and they're not only called out and singled out, but it's almost like you almost feel in the arena like that whole arena is going to gang up on you. Like you see tonight how they were treating Brock and Brock's response. Everybody's laughing, having a good time. They're going with it. You do that to Eddie Kingston or John Moxley or Thunder Rosa or somebody else, and they'll turn around and be like, you know, why don't you shut the fuck up? And then everybody in the crowd thinks that they're the policeman for the wrestler. Oh, he or she is rattled. Get that person. You know, I'm telling you, people don't realize it, but it does make, you know, it uncomfortable sometimes to be a fan. You want, you know, this is suspension of disbelief. This is art. This is entertainment. No matter what wrestling company you're a fan of, or you go to a show or you enjoy, you suspend reality and you just want to have a good time. And if you, as long as you're not getting racist in your chants and you're not really getting, you know, terribly low with what you're saying, you know, you chant a little bit and you do some what things. Of course, they're annoying. I'm fed up with them as well. But you see that, you know, you can say what you want. You pay the ticket. You have fun. You're not being malicious. And you don't have to worry about somebody pointing you out and that audience thinks that they're doing a good deed by making that person feel so uncomfortable. The next person that wants to maybe chant and have a little fun, you know, look at Sammy Guevara and Ty Conti. Technically, their baby faces still, they're going to be hardcore heels before you know it. But even with them.
Hardcore something.
Yeah. But you see, even with them, like some fans online are huge into Ty and Sammy. They love them. There are other fans that can't stand them. And the people that absolutely adore them, they think they're doing a deed by screaming out and guilting other people so others don't do the same thing. I'm telling you, that is a dangerous formula, man. You make something where people, wrestling is about forgetting about reality and life for a little while. Everything with WrestleMania Saturday and WrestleMania Sunday, you know, you see two people battle in the ring, you forget about reality. You forget about the fact that, let's be honest, these two people might be chummy, unless they're Charlotte and Becky Lynch. You know, that what you see in the ring, you truly believe they want to rip each other's head off. You just want to have fun. And the vibe from Brock tonight, even the vibe from Roman Reigns, you think Roman Reigns was really rattled when the fans are chanting Suplex City? That's what Roman wants. That's what he wants. Even Becky Lynch today. Becky Lynch, we could go to there for a second. I truly believe she has had a real difficult time being full-blown heel because everybody knows how nice she is. You look over the weekend at the social media clip of that kid that had two heart surgeries, like 5 years old, two major heart surgeries, and Becky Lynch made arrangements that he got to go in the back with his brother to meet everybody. And you see Becky, and Becky is in the SUV with Seth Rollins, and they're driving out of the arena, and there's a little girl with a Becky Lynch shirt on, and the mother spots them. They stopped. Becky got out of the car, posed with the kid. It's 2 seconds, but that will last with that kid for the rest of her life. My point is, you know, people know deep down inside Becky Lynch is a real good person. So she has a hard time going full-blown hardcore. She finally did tonight what you and I said that, you know, maybe they could have teased a month, month and a half ago. She has a confrontation with Bianca. And sure enough, Becky Lynch takes out a big pair of scissors.
Yeah.
And Bianca starts wailing, crying, you know, like, you know, you're acting like, oh my God, she's going to cut my hair. And this wasn't like snip, snip a little piece. She was like right near the top of the head, ready to snip. But Bianca obviously gets the upper hand. Bianca right. then starts going to town on Becky. Now, let's also be honest. When Bianca was cutting Becky's hair, she was making sure to just hit the ends. You know, don't right. go near the scalp. Go towards the end so it really doesn't see it. But she took enough off. She took a nice amount of hair off of Becky Lynch. But when that segment was over, Becky is walking up the rampway. And the crowd is chanting, you deserve it. And Becky snapping in the back, you bitch. You know, this to me tonight, and she's had a lot of cheat to wins, grabbing the ropes, you know, doing this for the last 8 months. But tonight I felt was the first night that Becky fully, fully was accepted and acknowledged as a full-blown heel. And all because she almost snipped Bianca's hair.
Yeah, I can see that being a catalyst to finally put her over the edge. Bianca Belair is definitely one of the top baby faces as far as the women go. You know, and I understand why fans really like her in this role, and that's good. But, yeah, I don't know, man. I don't know if I could still see Becky as being this believable heel. I right now, considering what happened to Becky with the welts, with her getting welted by Bianca's hair, I still think Becky scalping Bianca is justified. It doesn't seem like the actions of a heel. It's the actions of somebody that wants revenge, which isn't necessarily a heel thing. Bianca beat the hell out of her, whipped her, scarred her stomach, scarred her waist and everything else like that. I mean, the fact that she wants to take her hair for it, I'm still in the camp, like, it's kind of justified if you ask me.
Yeah.
And now Bianca took more hair, took hair from Becky too. I'm like, that's what, two times Bianca's gone over and gotten over on Becky, and Becky looks a fool. If Becky doesn't take her hair at Mania, I don't know, man.
Yeah.
I don't think that'll look good for Becky.
Yeah. We had an 8-woman tag team match tonight. Sasha Banks, Naomi, Rhea Ripley, and Liv Morgan over Natalya, Shayna Baszler, Queen Zelina, and Carmella. Rhea Ripley with the Riptide on Queen Zelina for the win. Not a bad match. It was okay. Austin Theory, as we said earlier, beating Ricochet. And I had a minute 52, but I'm looking at my notes that on my computer, and it says a minute 42. So who's even quicker than that? But Jesus,
that's such a bad look for, can we be honest? Intercontinental champions shouldn't be doing jobs like that. And I get Austin is like, Austin Theory's the next big thing. But damn, you really made Ricochet look like a punk champion. They could have used anybody else in that role. They didn't have to put a champion in that role, man.
I love Austin Theory's revised music. Absolutely love it.
Yeah.
There's something about the music that, you know, I mean, it's generic, but it definitely an upgrade. I mean, I know sometimes the music changes and people don't like it, but I'm liking Austin Theory's. Drew McIntyre beating Happy Corbin and Madcap Moss. It was only a 2-minute match. It was a handicap match, but basically Corbin got out of Dodge, leaving Moss, which is ridiculous because I always hate when that happens for the simple reason. I'll tell you why. Okay, it's a handicap match. One of the partners bails on his other partner. Okay, you know, Corbin don't want nothing to do with the match. Well, you're left with a one-on-one. Like, how does that one person suddenly become so vulnerable they're always pinned within a minute after their partner leaves? Okay, it's one-on-one. Even, the odds are more even now. But sure enough, Corbin gets out of Dodge. Moss eats the Claymore, gets pinned. He rolls out of the ring, and Corbin comes back, attacks Drew McIntyre, and then he walks off with Angela. So he steals the sword just to get a little bit of heat. But once again, Madcap Moss, you know, cracking awful jokes that Corbin doesn't like. So will we get the official split between Moss and Corbin at WrestleMania? What do you think?
I don't know. I really
do. You care?
Not really.
Yeah, I don't really care.
I mean, with Moss and Corbin, it's very low on my totem pole. So
yeah,
but I don't know. I don't know if that's what the plan is for them. So.
Yeah, Veer Mahan coming next week. You know, I tell you, him speaking English, and I don't mean this lightly. The fact that he's fluent in English is going to help him tremendously. It's going to help him, you know, because you can feel a little personality with the guy. And if they get into a little bit of his background that we always talk about, I think, you know, and he's getting very sociable online. Being sociable with wrestling fans out there is always a plus. You want that connection with the fans. And, you know, I'm curious to see what they do next week with him. Very curious. I mean, he'll probably beat, you know, who's he going to beat? Commander Aziz. Yeah, no, he's Raw. He'll probably beat, like, Apollo or Commander Aziz or Drew Gulak. He'll probably get him in. Yeah. The Miz losing to Rey Mysterio. Basically, Miz comes out with Lucha Logan wearing a Rey Mysterio mask. Didn't have it tied, so you knew it was going to happen later on. Dominic rips the mask off of Logan's head. Mysterio pins Miz. Little bit of a beatdown afterwards.
Yeah.
I tell you, I watched the training video of, you know, Logan Paul training. And, you know, learning some moves. He doesn't look bad. I will say this. I do not buy for 1 minute that bullshit that he fed online that, hey, if the fans want me to stay, I'll continue doing this. I don't believe that for 1 second. I think that is simply just to be, you know, like putting over WWE, like, oh, I love it. I'll stay. The fans welcome me. I'll stay. But I still believe Logan Paul will end up knocking out the Miz at Mania after they lose.
Yeah, there'll be some kind of revenge, some kind of comeuppance on that. Absolutely. Yeah.
Yep. Okay. We got to mention this. I like it. And I'll tell you why I like it. We had two segments back to back today with Reggie, Dana Brooke, Akira Tozawa, and Tamina Snuka. And basically, Reggie says, we don't need to wait to WrestleMania for our moment. Reggie goes on one knee. Yeah, we could zoom in. And Reggie proposes to Dana Brooke. Dana Brooke says yes. I'm sure Dana Brooke's fiance loves this going on. So they are now engaged. And then, you know, Tozawa and Tamina show up and they're going at it with them too for a little bit. Reggie and Dana Brooke get out of Dodge. And then Tamina realizes Tozawa's dressed in a suit. She's like, why are you dressed like that? And sure enough, Akira Tozawa, he's got his own fake ring. And he proposes to Tamina Snuka. And she says yes also. So R-Truth is doing his, I like Sean Stasiak, so I don't want to say that. That's outdated. But he is lurking with binoculars in the back, and he's got an idea. He's probably going to dress up pretending to be a minister, and maybe he ends up getting that 24/7 title. But the reason why I love these segments, Mish, is because if they get this fast with the relationships already leading to marriage, then give me a pregnancy storyline. I want to hear that Dana Brooke is pregnant so we don't have to have her in the ring anymore. Seriously. or let them get divorced. You know, just do fast track. Seriously, within a couple of weeks, they're already engaged. So let them get married in a week or two, and then a week after that, announce that they're both pregnant. You know, let them bang, you know, go on a double couples honeymoon, get pregnant, get off my TV. I mean, I will say this, Mish. They were in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania tonight.
Yes.
One thing we realized about Dana Brooke and Reggie and Tozawa and Tamina tonight, what we realized is that the fans, 10 to 1, are enjoying Tozawa and Tamina much more than Dana and Reggie.
Oh, yeah. Dana and Reggie are kind of just hokey and cheesy. At least the corniness and the relationship between Tozawa and Tamina is a little bit toxic. You know, Tozawa seems genuinely head over heels for Tamina, and Tamina just looks like she's only into it because she gets to beat him up a little bit. So. Okay.
Yesterday when we did the sit down, somebody did a phrase, forgive me, everyone. You're going to laugh when I say this. I never heard of the phrase before, smash or pass. I may have heard about fuck, marry, kill, but I never heard smash or pass before. So somebody yesterday said to me, DT, smash or pass Nia Jax. And they also did smash or pass with Sonny. So I ask you, Mish, tonight, smash or pass Tamina Snuka?
Sure. Smash. Why not? She's all right.
Good boy.
There's nothing wrong with Tamina.
Good boy.
I understand that she's not everybody's cup of tea, but there's nothing wrong with little thick. You know?
She's older. I mean, not as old as me, which makes me very depressed. And yes, thank you everyone for the birthday wishes. Nia, thank you also for that gift yesterday. I did not see it because it was before the show, but thank you, Nia. But, you know, Tamina, like,
their fucking minds.
I want to be in a bed. Seriously, I want to be in a bed with Tamina, handcuffed, my arms and my legs handcuffed to the bed, a water bed. And then I want Tamina Snuka to climb like the top of a dresser and do the Superfly splash onto me, and that's it. We do the nasty. I'd smash her.
That's awfully specific there, DT.
Seriously, because because a lot of wrestlers, you know, I almost got Superfly splashed once from Snuka back in 2004, and I pussied out. In fact, I could have my hair cut from Brutus Raw Beefcake, and I pussied out on that too. But, you know, like when you're the recipient of a splash, if you notice, right before the person gets hit with a splash, anybody with a frog splash, you see that person on the mat get up a little bit, and the momentum backwards, it helps absorb, you know, the force. But I want to be like handcuffed where I can't go anywhere, and I just want Tamina to just do the I love you and splash right off the dresser from the ceiling fan. Climb on top of the ceiling fan and jump on
ceiling fan.
The ceiling fan. like a monkey, as Roddy Piper would say. But the crowd seemed to, I don't know. I mean, they tolerated the segment. That might be the best way to put it. You know, not everything has to be a 3-star match in the ring. So, but all right. What else do we have tonight as far as matches? We had RK-Bro and the Usos. We had Nakamura and Rick Boogs at ringside. They originally advertised the Street Profits versus Alpha Academy, which did not happen. And I know they had originally announced something with Ronda Rousey, which to me didn't make sense because Ronda and Charlotte are not part of Raw, but I thought it was too loaded for Raw. But I think everybody expected the outcome, the Usos versus RK-Bro. Technically, it should have been a disqualification victory for RK-Bro because when the Street Profits hit the ring, they tacked RK-Bro. They didn't do anything to the Usos. So technically, the Usos should have been disqualified.
Right.
But WWE's official word is that it went to a no contest. But we go off the air with Randy Orton and Riddle hitting RKOs on the Street Profits. And we had Nakamura and Boogs going at it with the Usos a little bit. I'll tell you this. I don't know if it was Jey Uso that was outside the ring. You know, if anybody has that footage still, watch back the final 2 or 3 minutes of the match. Riddle does a moonsault outside the ring on one of the Usos. And not only did it look like Riddle landed on, I think it was Jey Uso's head, but it also looked like when he went down that his head hit the mat pretty hard as well.
Yeah.
So, you know, if anybody goes back and watches that, I hope, you know, I haven't heard anything about injury, but then again, we went live almost immediately after Raw ended.
Right.
But it was a good match while it lasted. But it was
it was a fun match.
Yeah, it was basically just a lead-in for WrestleMania. Right. Edge cutting a promo on AJ Styles. And here on this show, we do not criticize anyone for not knowing Easter eggs. I still think it's nauseating that fans were criticized, especially from wrestlers, for not knowing CM Punk's Ring of Honor music when he came out for Revolution. But Edge tonight, at a table, kind of a little bit of Aleister Black vibes, he's got a scale. And he's talking about Judgment Day for AJ Styles. Guys, gals, does that look familiar to any of you out there? If it doesn't, that is perfectly fine. But for anyone out there that may not know the references with Judgment Day, this is where it came from. Judgment Day poster, 2009.
Wow. Yes,
that is a, wow, he looks so different for what?
He looks 13, so young there, doesn't he?
13 years. That's all it is, 13 years. It's amazing how much he has changed. Wow. But Edge, once again, I mean, killing it with a promo and basically making sense with AJ Styles now as far as, you know, that they're going to have a match for the ages. And he's bringing back, you know, AJ Styles from mediocrity, you know, from where he was. And he said that AJ Styles' fate was already sealed. And after Edge's promo, we go to a commercial, and Sarah Schreiber asks AJ Styles, you know, what he thought as far as what Edge had to say. And he feels, you know, he's going to give Edge the beating and that no one will ever forget. But AJ Styles, you know, admitting that Edge has kind of rattled him a little bit.
Right.
So I'm really looking forward to this match.
It'll be a good match regardless. I think AJ and Edge have a lot of chemistry that we haven't seen yet before. And I just, based upon how they both wrestle, I'm looking forward to this match too. I think it's going to be one of the highlights of WrestleMania.
I don't want to compare Edge and Christian. I think that's a little unfair. But I will say this. You look at Edge's return since Royal Rumble last year. You look at Christian's return since Royal Rumble last year. What does that say as far as the workload that Christian has done compared to Edge? You think that's more of just AEW, too many people on the roster and just cannot find any place to put him? Or would you think this was Christian's vision coming back after 7 years to be the third wheel of a young tag team to help bring them up and help the stars of tomorrow? Because I look at both, and there is obviously a clear, stark difference. And I'm not comparing their promos. I'm just talking about in the ring. It feels to me like if for the, all those years that Christian was trying to return, I don't know if this is the way he planned it out as far as how he is being used wrestling-wise.
Right.
You know?
I mean, I think Christian had a lot more to offer WWE. For whatever reason, they couldn't make it work. You know, him going to AEW to help the Stars of Tomorrow is definitely something that, you know, sounds like, I mean, even if you go back and listen to, the, you know, the Pot of Awesomeness and stuff, it's something that's kind of built into him that he wants to help other people, that he wants to train other Stars of Tomorrow. So I don't know if it's necessarily the perfect situation, but it's something that he's willing to do. So good for him. I mean, you can't, how do I say it? There's no way that you can go wrong from training or learning from a guy like Christian, with as much history as the guy has, with as much experience as he has. You know, it's only going to be beneficial to everybody that's around him in AEW.
Yeah, I just think he probably, I mean, look, I know he had the little title run in Impact, but if you really dissect his run, I mean, there was not that much there. But I will say this, he's had some great moments in the year plus since, you know, he is back. But it just feels like maybe more should have been done over the last year, year and a half. And there's not many years left in his career. So you don't want to look back any single year right now and be like, man, I just fucking wasted another year, or I should have done a lot more, you know? So those were the matches for tonight. Other than an awesome tribute to Steve Austin, there was a nice tribute to Triple H as well, since, you know, Triple H can no longer wrestle. Right. But I tell you, using the Kid Rock music, it really brought me back to the Attitude Era. It brought me back to those My Sacrifice videos. You and I had that awesome conversation a couple of months ago about that. I mean, everybody that thought that Steve Austin package today was epic, which was the word a lot of people used. If you were not around in the Attitude Era, understand we were spoiled with those packages every single month. But
yeah,
a really good tribute to Steve Austin and Kevin Owens. I don't want to say nuclear heat. People are really appreciating what Kevin Owens is doing. But Kevin Owens, once again, giving those vibes that he just hates Steve Austin.
Oh, fantastic promo tonight. Kevin Owens in rare form, yet again, escalating this entire matchup between him and Stone Cold Steve Austin. Really looking forward to this. I think that this is also going to be a huge part of the Mania weekend. More so than just it being a interview. This is going to be ugly. It's going to be fun to watch. And Kevin Owens really does know how to play the heel role for this. So I'm looking forward to it, man.
Yeah. You know, he's talking about, you know, the last time we saw Stone Cold was 19 years ago. This is not Stone Cold. This is Steve. Call him Steve. He hates beer, but he's going to have a beer and then he's going to pour it all over what's remaining of Steve Austin. And, you know, the crowd, and it is closing out Mania. It is absolutely closing out night one of WrestleMania. And, but, you know, it's what you and I expected all along. From day one, you and I said that an appearance on the Kevin Owens show should be the way they go instead of an actual one-on-one match. I think couple of stomps in the corner, couple of middle fingers, stunner, second stunner. Don't know if other legends, you know, we've talked about already, are going to hit the ring and do something also. They may leave all the spotlight only on Steve Austin. But, you know, just having those 2-3 minutes of a beatdown, Steve Austin don't have to take any back bumps.
Right.
You know what I mean? Right. He just throws an ass kicking for a few minutes. It's, you know, it is what it is. He drinks a bunch of beers and they go off the air. Sometimes less is more. I don't think anybody's going to complain if that beatdown only lasts 2 minutes, followed by a whole bunch of beer. And you know what would probably happen? Austin will beat him up, hit the stunner. Kevin Owens will be laid out. Steve Austin will have a bunch of beers. And then a couple of minutes later, Kevin Owens will be getting on his feet a little bit. You know the routine. And Steve Austin will act like, all right, all right. And then he helps Kevin Owens up, gives him a beer, acts like, all right, you know, let's toast. And then he gives him another stunner.
Has anybody even contemplated if this could go wrong? I mean, we're also into the idea that this is going to be a Steve Austin moment where Steve Austin comes out there and gives everybody love and beats up the evil piece of crap Kevin Owens. Has anybody even thought of the idea if Kevin Owens goes out there and actually beats the shit out of Steve Austin?
I Anything is possible. I'm just curious to see how Kevin Owens sells the stunner, because he is the one always giving the stunners. Right. Is he going to just take a stunner like people normally do, or are we going to get that overly exaggerated Rock reaction to the stunner? You know, where he flips upside down and lands on the ropes. I'm very curious to see how Kevin Owens eats the stunner. I think there might be some comedic value in that as well. So, one other promo that we definitely need to mention would not be complete if we didn't talk about this tonight with Raw. Roman Reigns, Paul Heyman, and the Usos coming out. And, you know, just some great photos online. And, you know, they're dressed in red. And I tell you, Paul Heyman, if you just focus on his face, everything that Roman Reigns does, I mean, he is so integral with detail as the way he reacts and everything, just gushing over everything that Roman Reigns says. But Roman Reigns getting the what chance tonight, and him playing along with it, he's going to smash everyone like he would smash Steve Austin, which was interesting. Roman Reigns, you know, they mentioned he hasn't been pinned since December of 2019. Roman Reigns bringing up a little bit of history with Brock, but that anger that Roman Reigns, you know, comes off with. I mean, talk about suspension of disbelief. The guy is in the fucking zone. I mean, this is, you know, the tribal chief that he's been doing for the last couple of years has been excellent, top shelf. But this feud with Brock Lesnar, his perception of his anger is really, really done well. I mean, that is something you do not see as often, you know, in wrestling. You do see it once in a blue moon, but on that level where someone comes off that they're just absolutely bitter hatred for their opponent, this is going to be pretty epic.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
It was good.
No, go ahead. No, I like the idea of Roman Reigns coming out there. I like this entire feud, you know. I think there's still a little bit of pushback between Roman and Brock. And I don't know if that's necessarily because people just don't want to see this happen. But I think they've done a good job of rebuilding this, of building this feud into something else, you know. And yeah. I think that it deserves to headline WrestleMania.
Yeah.
So,
will John Cena appear? I doubt it. It'd be great if he came out, cut a promo or something, but I would think that you would want to advertise John Cena making an appearance, and I don't see that happening. But main event results tonight, Veer Mahan over Cedric Alexander, Finn Balor over Apollo Crews. And you know what? Talking about Cena, too, they did show a highlight tonight when Cena beat JBL at WrestleMania 21. They didn't do too many highlights, you know, the past couple of weeks. We'd known that JBL is going to be there. Could that have been done intentionally to possibly keep John Cena's name on people's minds a little bit?
Maybe. I mean, John Cena's been all over the media lately. Obviously, he did pretty well with the Peacemaker show that he had on HBO and stuff like that. So, I don't know. I don't think that Cena and WWE are anywhere near done. It's just, if he shows up, what role do you think he's going to do? I think if anything, Cena would show up. You'll probably see him at the Hall of Fame, right? Like, that's kind of a gimme. I would not be surprised to see him at the Hall of Fame. And maybe at WrestleMania in the audience? I could see Cena doing something like that, being in the audience at WrestleMania.
I wanted to show everyone, since I do a little promo work for FOCO, the bobbleheads. They sent me information about two new FOCOs that are available. If you want to check it out, it's FOCO.com, FOCO.com. I don't get anything for this. I want to make it clear. I mean, they sent me some to give away on the shows, but they released a Brock Lesnar FOCO just in time for WrestleMania, and they also released an Austin 316 theme for, because recently it was 316 day. And I love the bottom, because the bottom in big red letter, you know, numbers says 316. It's they're pretty cool bobbleheads. So if you want to go check it out, foco.com. The Brock is available, and Steve Austin's is almost sold out. So if you want to go check those out. And don't forget the Vince McMahon shirt. I'm still totally baffled by that shirt that they put on sale. So,
asshole shirt.
Yeah. So listen, before we go, you know, we're going to just run through the matches, just give our just quick excitement level as far as how we feel about it. Ratings, just to give everybody a little update on ratings. Rampage, let's put this from the beginning. Rampage, unfortunately, scored the lowest rating that they have ever had in their regular time slot. And anyone out there that's trying to tell you that basketball tournaments or playoffs is the reason for it, they are lying to you. Go get the breakdown, the cable Nielsen ratings for the top 15, 20 shows, and look at the 3 days before, and you realize basketball was not an influence. It was simply wrestling fans, AEW fans especially, decided they wanted to watch something else than Rampage. Rampage, why is this not going to be getting? There we go. Rampage only scored 425,000, and it did go up 6%, but remember the week before it was on at 1140 at night. SmackDown went up to 2,180,000. Impact Wrestling rebounded a little bit to 100,000, but still a poor number. And then you have your ratings, which we talked about last week, Dynamite breaking 1 million, NXT still on the uptrend, and Raw, you know, moderate increase last week. This week we have another watch party. I don't want to go too far ahead because Friday we have SmackDown and Rampage as well, but tomorrow, if you want to be part of it, it is the NXT 2.0 watch party. It is the go-home show to stand and deliver. Yes, Nikita Lyons will be there. I don't know if she's going to be wrestling, but she has already been advertised to be there. I just want to see LA Knight and Gunther go at it a little bit. But if you're a YouTube channel member, you already have the link. If you're a Patreon, you should already have the link. Everyone else, all you got to do is DM me on Twitter, at DonTonyD, or email me, DonTony@DonTony.com, and I will send you an invite. First come, first serve. There is not an unlimited number of seats. And anybody who signed up a couple of weeks ago but never showed up, slowly those accounts are being deleted. So, you know, they got a shot, but unfortunately had to give your seat to someone else. Rampage on Friday. I'll give you the details later in the week. This Wednesday, I'm going to be doing predictions for Stand and Deliver on Wednesday's show. This Thursday, instead of the Q&A that we always do, we're going to do predictions on Thursday, 9.05 p.m. It'll be live, so if you'll see the link in the channel. And everyone is welcome to join me live Thursday for some the most stupendous WrestleMania predictions. So that is Thursday. NXT tomorrow, you got Cameron Grimes versus Roderick Strong versus A-Kid for the last spot in a ladder match for Stand and Deliver. LA Knight and MSK versus Imperium. Legado del Fantasma against Josh Briggs and Brooks Jensen. Ivy Nile versus Tiffany Stratton. Bodie Hayward versus Von Wagner. Draco Anthony versus Joe Gacy. And then, as we said, Nikita Lyons, Tommaso Ciampa, Bron Breakker, a few others will be there as well. Dynamite, the only preview we have right now is that Darby Allin will be taking on Andrade. FTR versus the Gun Club. And the Bunny will be taking on a women's wrestler who is going to be making their AEW debut. AEW's latest signing. We don't know who it is, but this is going to determine, it's a qualifying match for the Women's Owen Hart Cup. So a lot of people, you know, have their ideas from Toni Storm to the former Ember Moon, others as well. So that'll be Wednesday. So, Mish.
Yes, sir.
We're not doing predictions. We're just running through the matches and which ones really are you looking forward to, or is it just eh? So we have Queen Zelina and Carmella defending the tag titles versus Sasha and Naomi, Rhea Ripley and Liv Morgan, Natalya and Shayna Baszler. You looking forward to it?
Overall, this match is going to be a sleeper. I'm not really looking forward to this tag match. I even said before when we were talking about this earlier, it would be better off if it was some kind of a battle royal. At least you could have had some interesting swerves in there and team partners fighting other team partners. But I'd like Shayna and Natalya to win, but I know that's not the case. So
they didn't want to go with the gauntlet because it, I'm not saying that Zelina and Carmella are going to retain. But if they're going to last a little bit, they don't want to do the gauntlet where they would have to pin Rhea Ripley and Liv or pin Natalya and Shayna Baszler. They could always do a DQ or a count out of stuff, but that's right. Why they went with the forward. But I'm really, other put it this way, anything other than Sasha and Naomi winning this, it'll be a disappointment for me. Pat McAfee versus Austin Theory, I am looking forward to. I think it's going to be fun, but I am looking forward to Sami Zayn and Johnny Knoxville that much more. I mean,
really?
Yeah, it's not even close for me because what I hear that is going to happen in the Jackass segments, I mean, there's going to be some insane shit going down with Sami Zayn and Knoxville and maybe a couple other people as well that are going to get involved. Putting those matches side by side, I am so looking forward to Sami Zayn versus Johnny Knoxville. What about you?
I'm actually looking forward to Pat McAfee and Austin Theory a little bit more. I think that you're going to get a better match out of that. I mean, maybe you're right. Maybe the zaniness, no pun intended, would be better with Knoxville and Sami Zayn. But I think that Austin Theory, Pat McAfee's kind of proven himself before. So I'm kind of looking forward to the in-ring between that. And I think that that'll be good. That'll be fun.
By the way, the matches we're talking about right now are all night two. This is Sunday. So we are getting the Pat McAfee and the Knoxville matches both on the same night.
On the same night.
Which is very interesting. You know, you could see a little bit of the entertainment level on this, you know, but there's some nice mixtures as well. Bobby Lashley versus Omos is also happening on Sunday.
Yeah, geeked up for that. Yep. I see a lot of development from that match. I'm looking forward to it. Absolutely.
RK-Bro defending the Raw Tag titles against Street Profits and Alpha Academy. I'm looking forward to it, but I don't have any vibe that if RK-Bro loses that there's going to be a split. Like, it just does not feel any awkwardness or friction in the air that I think it would be asinine if there was a split either Sunday or Monday if they lost those belts.
Yeah, they've been pushing the friendship angle with Orton and Riddle pretty hard. So if they did the split, it would be out of nowhere, which RKO out of nowhere. But I don't know. I'd rather them not split. I think they do fine as a tag team. I'm looking forward to it in that sense.
Yeah.
Them versus Alpha Academy. You know, the Profits are, I don't know, they feel forced even tonight when they came into the ring and they attacked. I was like, anything to get a little bit of buzz going. But
yeah,
it's really more about Alpha Academy and RKO and Matt Riddle.
Did you see that little clip when they were airing a teaser for Randy Orton's WWE Evil?
Yeah,
he tried to transform into like evil heel and his veins started popping out and everything. Yeah. That was crazy shit, man. It was awesome. If any of you out there have not seen that clip, just go on Twitter and just type in Randy Orton WWE Evil and just click the video menu. And there's a clip where he's just sitting there and he's talking about how, you know, when he wants to get into the zone, and he just starts, I mean, you literally see like the veins starting to pump out. And it's weird because if you look at, if you take a screenshot right before he does it and a screenshot afterwards, you would think that it was like a horror film and they did like some special effects a little bit. It's not dramatic, but it's enough where you'd be like, wow, it was fucking cool. So, you know what's cool also? The other two matches advertised for Sunday night, Edge versus AJ Styles, Brock Lesnar versus Roman Reigns. I mean, what we just went through, there are potentially 3 to 4 matches that could be top matches on that night. 3 at minimum, I would think. And if we get 3 really, really top-notch matches for night 2, I think that's a home run for night 2 of WrestleMania.
Yeah.
You know?
No, I think you have the potential for a very good WrestleMania, but let's hope that that's the case, man. Yeah. Seriously, I hope it's good.
Okay. Night 1, Drew McIntyre versus Happy Corbin. I'm not looking forward to. I have no interest in it whatsoever. Even my fiance tonight said, why do they have him in that match at WrestleMania? And I said, it's a long story. But, I mean, a lot of fans just feels like a big step down for McIntyre. So,
sure.
Rey and Dominik versus Miz and Logan Paul. How do you feel about that match?
Yeah. I like the Miz, but this is not the match.
Yeah.
You know?
I see Miz and Logan Paul losing, and then Miz will get mad at Logan Paul, maybe even try to shove him a couple of times, and I think Logan Paul will knock out Miz, and that's how they do it. This is not predictions, but that's the only scenario I see that night. Another match that I really have no interest in seeing, Kofi and Xavier versus Sheamus and Ridge Holland.
Nothing.
Yeah, I have no, I mean, you know, Butch, Pete Dunne is going to probably try to get involved. They'll probably eject him, but I have no thoughts on that match either.
I agree. Yeah.
The Usos versus Nakamura and Rick Boogs. What do you think? I'm not looking forward to that match either.
You know, I think it'll at least be a passable match, but yeah, and it's not even a shot on, I don't know. It's just Boogs bothers me. Shinsuke has been better in the past. The Usos need to win the match. You know, it'll be an okay match. It'll be fine. But yeah, as far as the hype train goes, I'm not on this one.
Yeah, either. I'm not feeling it either. But I will say this. This leaves 3 other matches, plus the Kevin Owens show with Steve Austin. And if these 4 deliver, I don't know how anybody could say that night 1 of WrestleMania sucked, because we have the Kevin Owens show with Steve Austin. We have Seth Rollins versus what will be Cody Rhodes.
Whoever.
Charlotte Flair versus Ronda Rousey. Yes. Just think back at SummerSlam. Remember that match at SummerSlam? If they...
Survivor Series.
Survivor Series, yes, thank you. If they come close to Survivor Series, that is one of the most underappreciated matches for women's wrestling in WWE in the last 10 years, in my opinion.
Yeah.
I mean, it just blows my mind that people don't rarely ever bring up that match. But you have Becky and Bianca, which I think is really going to be top-notch. Charlotte and Ronda Rousey, like we said, if it comes close to Survivor Series, it's going to be excellent. Seth Rollins and Cody Rhodes, and the Kevin Owens show with Steve Austin. Any of those you just like not feeling? I mean, how do you feel about the Charlotte-Ronda match? I know her promos have been awful, and the energy level just doesn't seem to be there, but I still
feel... Yeah, Ronda needs to be a heel in this. Ronda needs to show her vindictiveness for the fans. Ronda wants to be a heel. Ronda wants to be somebody that can shit all over people. And it's almost like she's being forced into this, play the nicey-nice, it's WrestleMania, you're the good girl, you're the conquering hero, and it's like, Ronda's not that. It feels forced, but I think they'll have a good match. Becky and Bianca?
I feel the heat. I mean, I think they have told a good story to set this up, because remember,
I think they're both in the wrong role.
Yeah,
I think, I honestly look at Becky in this scenario, and Becky's the baby face and Bianca's the heel. But they have the entire roles flipped. Bianca's the one that's been doing damage to Becky. What did Becky do? You know, she won the match. She won the belt. I don't know, dude. I'm not looking forward to this one. Not necessarily because it'll be a bad match, because the setup is kind of caucus. The setup is kind of caucus. Yeah, Owens and Stone Cold are going to steal the show. That's all people are going to talk about. It's supposed to close the show, right? That's the big rumor.
Yeah.
If that closes the show, everything else doesn't matter.
I think
everything else doesn't matter.
I think one mistake WWE did tonight was last week, or the week before, they said that Bianca, I think it was last week, that Bianca broke something in her throat because of what Becky did to her. Even it was 2 weeks ago. And her coming out and just talking, girl, it's like, hold your fucking throat. You know, even remember last week when I said Becky was doing these little gasps of air that she was talking, she'd be like, and Bianca did it, and she was doing that. I mean, really, that detail was spot on. Bianca today, I think, just totally forgot what the storyline was the last 2 weeks. Sure. And she's in the ring. Girl, if you think, I'm like, really? I think that, you know, kind of irked me a little bit. But
Yeah.
But, hey, we have 5 more days to get hyped, to feel it, talk about it.
True.
And as I said, Thursday will be predictions. Friday will be SmackDown. We'll be doing a watch party. So, you know, you all come hang out. And I don't think we'll be able to do a watch party for the Hall of Fame because that's on Peacock. But SmackDown, absolutely. But with that said, I wanted 2 other things. This was the teaser for Wednesday for the latest signee for AEW. You know, whoever it is obviously going to be a babyface. Whoever it is, probably have a little bit of respect from the fans. You kick off the Owen Hart Cup, it better be someone that the fans respect a lot. That's how I look at it. And I forgot to mention this too. Not this Thursday, but next Thursday, April 7th, the podcast Forbidden Door will be opened once again. And I will be joined by, drum roll please, Mr. Joe Cronin. He will be here a couple of days before. I will post a thread for anybody that wants us, maybe send in an advanced question. We'll select a few of them that we think everybody would enjoy. And then we're going to do, look, similar like I did with Jason, similar like I did with, always do with Mish. We're just going to have casual convo talking about wrestling. WrestleMania would have already happened, so we'll probably talk about that, a little AEW, other topics, whatever's on your mind. So that will be Thursday, April 7th, probably 9:05 p.m. Might start it at 10. We're not sure yet, but I'm leaning towards 9 o'clock, which will give us a little bit extra time to have a conversation. So podcast Forbidden Doors, you know, we go as long as we need to, so we don't have to chop it to an hour. But, Mish, we have gone a little over an hour today, but any final thoughts before we get out of here?
Looking forward to talking a little bit more about WrestleMania tomorrow on the Patreon, and looking forward to running down predictions on Thursday for Wrestling Soup. So much love to everyone. Thanks for listening.
I'll see you tomorrow, my friend.
See you guys tomorrow.
Very good. Take care. So for our Patreon family, as Mish just said, tomorrow at 10 o'clock from 10 to 11, we will be doing an off-the-cuff version of Breakfast Soup via Patreon. I will post a thread if anybody wants to post. This is open to everybody that's a Patreon. If you want to send a question, and just keep in mind the show's an hour, so just keep the question something that we can answer simply. And anybody that sends like a boatload, we're going to have to just answer one or two or chop it down to rapid fire. This way we spread the love to everyone. But if you're not part of our Patreon family, like I said, you are welcome to be part of the watch party tomorrow. I'm telling you, you will have so much fun. You see screenshots of what we do. Just if you don't have the link, just send me a DM or an email, and I will be more than happy to send you an invitation. So, and Wednesday, just letting you know now, Wednesday is going to be predictions for Stand and Deliver. I will briefly run down AEW Dynamite and NXT tomorrow. The idea is because we're doing so many shows this week that we want to keep them shorter. So today we got right around 90 minutes. Wednesday should be an hour. Thursday should be an hour. And then we have two shows on Saturday, one on Sunday, and then the Raw after WrestleMania. So we keep the train going. But I thank you, as always, for the support. Before you leave, if you enjoyed tonight's show, I would appreciate it if you could hit that like button. I know I said earlier, you know, in the chat room, if you could, and I appreciate those that took the time. For everyone else, you know, hey, I hope you enjoyed the show. So on behalf of Mish, I am DT. I am out of here, and I look forward to seeing you all either tomorrow or Wednesday. And enjoy the rest of your week, everyone. Stay safe. Be well.
As far back as I can remember, I always wanted to be a podcaster. For me to live any other way was nuts. To me, those goody-good people who work shitty jobs for bum paychecks and took the subway to work every day and worried about their bills were dead. I mean, they were suckers. They had no balls. If I wanted something, I just took it. I ran everything. I paid the bills. I paid the hosts. I even paid the masked maniac. Everybody had their hands out. Everything was for the taking. We always called each other good fellas. You would always hear from somebody. You're gonna like Don Tony. He's all right. He's a good fella. He's one of us. But if you're part of my crew, nobody ever tells you they're gonna get rid of you. It doesn't happen that way. There weren't any arguments or curses like in the movies. See, your haters come with smiles. They come as your friends, the people who've claimed they care the most for your life. And now that's all over. And that's the best part. Today everything is different. There's lots of action. I don't have to wait around for everything like everyone else. Oh, I didn't get the vaccine? Fuck you, vaccine me. Oh, your delivery guy has COVID? Fuck you, feed me. Right after I moved here, I ordered egg noodles and ketchup, and I got spaghetti with meat sauce. I'm no longer an average nobody, while they get to live the rest of their lives like a bunch of schnooks.